We read this morning from the book of 1 Kings, Old Testament. As we shuffle around in the scriptures, it's even a little bit hard to find because we don't go there too often. So in 1 Kings 3, we begin reading in 3. We're going to read all the way through 15. Solomon loved the Lord and followed the instructions of his father David, but he also slaughtered animals and offered them as sacrifices on various altars. On one occasion, he went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices because that was where the most famous altar was. He had offered hundreds of burnt offerings there in the past. That night, the Lord appeared to him in a dream and asked him, "What would you like me to give you?" And Solomon answered, "You always showed great love for my father David, your servant, and he was good, loyal, and honest in his relation with you. And you have continued to show him your great and constant love by giving him a son who today rules in his place. O Lord God, you have let me succeed my father as king, even though I am very young and don't know how to rule. Here I am among the people you have chosen to be your own, a people who are so many that they cannot be counted. So give me the wisdom I need to rule your people with justice and to know the difference between good and evil. Otherwise, how would I ever be able to rule this great people of yours?" The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this, and so he said to him, "Because you have asked for the wisdom to rule justly, instead of long life for yourself or riches or the death of your enemies, I will do what you have asked. I will give you more wisdom and understanding than anyone has ever had before or will ever have again. I will also give you what you have not asked for. For all your life you will have wealth and honor more than that of any other king. And if you obey me and keep my laws and commands, as your father David did, I will give you a long life." Solomon woke up and realized that God had spoken to him in the dream. Then he went to Jerusalem and stood in front of the Lord's covenant box and offered burnt offerings and fellowship offerings to the Lord. After that, he gave a feast for all his officials. Praise be to God for the reading of his word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, may you speak to us this morning with your words and your equipping and empowering our lives that we might live after you in the way that Jesus has taught us. It is in his name that we pray. Amen. Wouldn't it be great to be a king or a queen? To be totally in charge? You see, if you're king or queen, then all you have to do is speak, and then people rush around and they take care of whatever it is that you've just spoken. What a good deal. Oh, but wait a minute. If you're the king or the queen and you're in charge, then you have the greatest challenge of anyone in your life. Because now everything you say, every facial gesture you have, every place you go is under scrutiny because it affects so many people, the ones in the kingdom. We're told that King Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived. And we learn in this scripture today how this all came to be. And do you know something? Like all the best things in our lives, when it comes from God, it's the most wonderful. That's what happened to Solomon. We so often think that we know best. And so we go about our lives not giving a thought to consult with the one, the God in heaven, the one who loves us most. You see, we should be asking God about everything. Who we should be, where we should go, and what we should be doing with our lives. Zig Ziglar was a real outspoken person for the kingdom. He was a salesman. He had the highest sales in his company, and the company wound up with a new president, and Zig was selling more stuff than anybody else. And so the new company leader thought, well, if Zig could just teach this to others, then the whole company could grow and grow. And so he called Zig in and he says, Zig, tell me how you can sell over and above everything and everyone. And Zig said, well, he says, when I'm on the road and I wake up in the morning in the motel room, he said, this is before computers and things, so he had, if you know what a Rolodex is, he has all the cards in there of all the contacts that he's going to make on that day, because that's the city he's in. And he says, I pull all the cards out, I lay them on the bed, and I sit there and I pray and I ask God, who should I see today? And whatever he tells me, that's where I go. I wonder if you and I would live our lives like that, how much more fruitful we would be for the kingdom and for our own families. You see, the truth is that God is ever ready to teach us, to guide us, to empower us to be all that we can be for his glory and for the advancement of the kingdom. Solomon had gone to this place called Gibeon to worship God, and in Solomon's mind, the way you really worship God is, yes, you pray, but also you offer sacrifices. There was no temple just yet. It wasn't built. And so Solomon did the next best thing. There was a place in Gibeon. It was the most famous altar in all of the land. He had been there many times before. The scholars think even 1,000. And so now he goes this day to this site. And while he was there, God appeared to him in a dream. Why a dream? Well, the Bible scholars believe that God came to Solomon in a dream because it was a way to get Solomon's undivided attention. So think about this with me for a moment. When is it in our day, our 24 hours, when is it that we're finally not thinking about something? What we're going to do later? What's going to happen tomorrow? The plans for this, the plans for that. When is it that we're going to totally not be doing that? Oh, it's when we go to sleep, is it not? When we sleep, you see, we finally allow our minds to become inactive. Your computers, most of them, have a thing called the hibernate. And when the computer is done doing what it's doing and hasn't done anything for a while, it just slips into hibernate mode. I've stopped doing. Now I'm just going to rest. And then, in theory at least, on a computer, you press the start button and then, okay, I'm awake. I'm picking things right back up from where I left off. Isn't that like you and me when we sleep? God will speak to you in dreams sometimes. But in talking to people, it doesn't seem to happen very often. When God really most all of the time speaks to us is when we finally, in our day, take some time to just rest, to just think about Him. I am totally, enthusiastically in favor of all of you having some time in each and every day during your waking hours of when you just find a place and you spend it alone with God. You see, we're always so busy. We're like Solomon. Well, our kingdoms are smaller, of course, but we're so busy all the time. And if we would just spend time with God, then He will be able to reach us with what He wants us to do. We might have the blessing of hearing His voice. When we enter this quiet time with God, we put the rest of our life on hold for a little while. And we're there. We're feeling the very presence of the Holy One in our lives. Well, in the dream, in Solomon's conversation that night with God, God asked Solomon, he said, "Tell me what you want." So, this is audience participation time. If God came to you today and He asked you, "What is it that you really want? What would it be?" Help me out. Don't be shy. You don't have to stand up. Just talk loud enough I can hear. What would you ask for? Your family, all right? Somebody else. Our country. Somebody else. To feel better. Anyone else? God gives us what we ask for if it's in His will. I'm reminded of Aladdin's lamp. God doesn't work exactly that way, but you remember Aladdin? He finds this lamp. He's cleaning it up. He's going to make it all shiny and new. And the genie comes out. And the genie says, "I'll grant you 3 wishes." Yahoo. A number of years ago, Yahoo put out a poll. They asked people, they said, "Now, if you had this 3 wishes granted to you, if there was a power greater than great, and you could ask for anything, what would you ask for?" A fellow by the name of Brian said this, "Total honesty from everyone." He said to be able to go back and change 2 events in his life. And then for his 3rd wish, he asked for perfect vision so that he could become an airline pilot. A lady named Lynn said this. She said, "Happiness, knowledge. I wish I could get a guarantee that I could enter into heaven. Oh, I wish I knew who Lynn was, because I'd have a few of you, many of you, all of you hopefully, that could talk to her and tell her how you get the guarantee, because we know There was a man, his name is Sam. He asked for this in his three wishes, to have people working for me instead of having to work for other people. A nice, comfortable home, and ice cold beer. And then Kelsey, she wrote this to Yahoo. She said, world peace, no sickness, and then telling something about her own life. She said, no more of my friends moving away. And so there's Solomon, just like you were a few minutes ago in my sermon, with that challenging question, if you could, what would you ask God for? As he said, God said, I'll give it to you. And Solomon shows his humbleness by admitting before God that he's pretty much new to being this king thing. We believe Solomon could be as young as 14, maybe as old as 20 when he became king. He talks with God and he says, you know, this is a huge responsibility to be in charge of your chosen people. And so finally Solomon asks for wisdom, asking God to give him a discerning heart to distinguish between what was right and what is wrong. And God was so pleased with what he wanted, he granted his request. And not only did he grant that, it's just like God all the time. He threw in a few extras along the way. Solomon didn't ask for money. He didn't ask for a new car. Oh, wait a minute. In his day, maybe a horse and a chariot. Solomon didn't ask for more vacation time, or he didn't ask for fancy clothes and jewelry. On the contrary, Solomon asked for common sense. It would take a good leader in his community to have common sense. Harry Truman used Solomon's words as his own prayer when he took over the presidency after the death of Franklin D. Roosevelt. Wouldn't it be amazing in our current political campaign if a candidate stepped forward to the microphone and said, nothing else matters more to me than if I become president, I would govern in the way God wants me to govern. These are the words of Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And God did grant Solomon's request for wisdom. And then along the way, God gave Solomon riches and honor. And this would be a great place for me to just quit. And we'll go out for the fellowship hour thinking that, if we just spend time with God, if we just allow God to show us the way, this would be a great time to stop. But I want to continue on in the story of Solomon. It's not from the scripture today, but there's more to the story. Solomon would eventually displease God. He would go against his father David's wishes and God's direct commands. Solomon married hundreds of pagan wives for political reasons. And he excessively taxed and overworked his people. It seems that just because God had gifted Solomon with wisdom, it did not mean he was free from making mistakes. We were studying on Thursday in our Bible study. We're in Matthew. Come join us 1 o'clock on Thursdays. At the rate we're going through Matthew, we're going to be there for a couple of years, so just come and join us. But there's the story for the day was the one about Jesus and the disciples coming to shore, and there's a demoniac that meets him, and long story short, there's all kinds of demons in this man, and they knew they had to leave this man, and there was a herd of pigs there, and so they wanted to go into the pigs, and the pigs jumped off the cliff into the lake and drowned. The people came out. They were scared, and they were very nervous about their financial futures, and so they asked Jesus, the Son of God, to leave. And Jesus did just that. The lesson, of course, is be careful what you ask God for, because he darn well might just give it to you. Solomon asked. He had it. And then he drifted away from God. And he got into all kinds of trouble. Oh, my friends, what would you do? What are you going to do when Jesus comes to you and says, ask me for whatever you want me to give you? You see, if you'll spend time in God's Word, if you'll spend time alone with him, if you'll spend time in prayer, you'll know exactly what to ask for. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Lord, help us to learn lessons today from Solomon. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Would you stand once again? We'll close this morning's worship with hymn 577, God of Grace and God of Glory.